is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Raheel along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Glenn Davis is going to join us at 8:30 to talk a little World Cup, see where we're at, what's going on around the country and in Houston specifically, exactly what's going on. We'll talk some Astros, we'll talk some Rockets. We didn't get to talk because David Montgomery came down after the show. You got to talk about it on your show, right, Del? We didn't get to talk about
it. That was Del's big story yesterday.
Well, I know it was Del's big story. He probably had it during our show and didn't bring it. He just brought it after to his show. So everybody listens to his show, and you know he hides stuff all the time on us.
How can I hide stuff on Twitter?
You held it.
I told Schefter to first get the compensation wrong and hold the story until your show is over.
Okay, yeah. So what is the compensation on this David Montgomery?
4-7 and Juice Scruggs.
All right.
4-7 and Juice Scruggs. Which, okay, speaking of that, we talked about the Tytus Howard deal yesterday. You get a fifth for Tytus Howard. You give up Juice Scruggs, which Juice couldn't even... I mean, what was the guy's name they started, and he got four snaps, and then they had to take him out?
I mean, you mean one of your current starting guards, Sidy Sal?
Yes, okay, I don't even know what a Sidy Sal is, okay? I have no idea what that meant. When I saw him in the starting lineup in that game, I said, who is this, and why can't Juice Scruggs even start in this game? Are you kidding me? Sidy Sal, never even heard of it. Comes off the practice squad or off the street. No one knows where he came from.
Was he that guy who was holding the sign outside NRG?
He does the spinning sign?
And yeah, no, he's the guy who's like, sign me. Remember that guy who was just standing outside?
Yeah,
was that him?
Back in the day?
Yeah. Was that Sidy Sal?
That was a safety, I think. I forget who that was. But anyway, Sidy Sal got the start. So Juice Scruggs was persona non grata. Juice Scruggs played his way out of here. Juice Scruggs was basically, you know, I saw a tweet. Oh, the offensive line sucks. You need to make changes. And then as soon as they make changes, everybody's like, what are you doing? You're making changes. Listen, Juice Scruggs is not a change.
No,
Juice Scruggs didn't even play. Juice Scruggs was not a part of this offense in last year. So they get Juice Scruggs. You can have Juice Scruggs. That's fine. A fourth and a seventh. When you picked up a fifth for Tytus Howard, it's almost a wash, kind of almost. You lose some draft capital. There's no question about it. But you picked up a running back in David Montgomery, who's 5-something this year, 7-something next year. When the running back's out there, how much is Kenneth Walker going to get? How much? Breece Hall is probably going to get a transition or a franchise tag. It looks like that's happening. Travis Etienne, what's he going to cost? These guys they're talking about in the neighborhood of 12, 13. And you get David Montgomery for 5. You still got Woody, right? I don't know what you do. I don't know if you bring Dare back, whatever the case may be. Whatever. You're going to have plenty of running backs. You got a power back, which David Montgomery doesn't like being called a power back, but oh well. Saw a lot of interviews with him yesterday, and he's a funny guy. I think the city of Houston's going to like him a lot.
Good.
He left like a 5-minute message for the city of Detroit, how much he appreciated them. You know, coming over from Chicago, he didn't know anything, and he said they were so great. He really appreciated Detroit and left them. He seems like a genuine guy. And I've seen he's on some podcasts. He's actually pretty funny. So you pick up David Montgomery and you lose Tytus Howard, $20 million. He's getting $21 million a year, and he's a guard. When you can get, it looks like you're going to be able to get Ed Ingram for $13 million. I mean, that's what that looks like the going rate is for Ed Ingram right now. That's the talk, that it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 13. Would you rather have Ed Ingram at guard at 13 or get rid of him and have Tytus Howard at guard at 21?
Give me the 13.
The 13, right? Yeah. You're saving a little bit on the cap. You're still strapped with some dead cap money, but oh well. I think you pick up about $4 million. So if you can do Ed Ingram, who played better, right? Although it's a one-year thing, it's kind of risky. We talked about this yesterday with Lance a little bit. It could be a Rafael Montero situation where you get one good year out of a guy and then you sign him to a long deal and then you really regret that. But he was in a contract year. He played well. And hopefully he continues to do that if you pick him back up. If not, I hope he plays like crap. But Tytus Howard was going to be too expensive at $21 million to play guard, right?
Yeah. And the running back stuff is now done. I don't think they're going to be picking up any other running backs. I don't even know if they're going to draft them. It's all about O-line.
Well, and you save money on that running back.
And now it's all about O-line. But are they putting themselves in a position where every single person knows that you have one starter coming back and this O-line is a mess? So if they're going to attack it in free agency, are they going to get ripped off? Maybe,
because if you bring Ed Ingram back at 13, you bring Trent Brown back, mm-hmm. you've got three of your starters back.
But are they going to hold them up against the fire now? Like, hey, you guys need me.
Well,
is there going to be a market for those guys?
There are other
else?
Guards and tackles out there.
That's what I'm worried about now, because your O-line, everyone knows that you are, is it fair to say, desperate?
Well, you are going to draft with the 28th pick.
Yep.
Offensive lineman. So that loses one spot.
Okay.
Okay. You can bring Jake Andrews back, or you can bring another center in. There's a lot of people who are talking about them drafting a center with the 28th pick. We'll see. We'll see what they do. I don't know. But I don't know that you're. I don't think you're desperate. I don't think okay. so. I don't think you're gonna get used by players. I mean, look. Last year you gave Cam Robinson $12-13 million, which was. was about as bad a contract. That was bad as throwing. You threw $13 million up against the wall, and it stuck.
And this
was
this is next part.
It was really sticky.
How would you rate Caserio when it comes to offensive linemen drafting, free agency?
You know the answer to that question.
So that's why I'm worried about this now.
Well,
that's why I put the D word out there. I think they're going to be a little desperate. And well, I think agents will know that, and they will get a little aggressive towards the Texans.
If they're not worried about the offensive line, I don't know why you are, okay? Listen, they're not worried. They're fine.
No, that was last year. Let's ask them again this year. How worried are you?
Well, you just need to replace four starters. It's not that big a deal.
That's a normal thing in an NFL offseason.
You know, honestly.
On a contender.
Other than that, you picked up your running back, right? You need some defensive line, interior defensive line stuff to get done.
Yeah, and that I'm not worried about because they're good at that. They are legit good at that.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Well, that's, I think, in large part, that's D'Amico's side of the ball.
Sure. Whoever it is, I'm not worried about it. I'm looking at a Texans franchise as a whole. They've knocked out all. We're good with the interior linemen on the defensive side. I'm good with just anything on defense. I'm good. Now, the offensive line, which has been a problem under the Caserio regime, you have to deal with replacing potentially four starters. And I know that move yesterday, the Howard trade, is a trade you make with other moves in mind. Absolutely. And maybe already cemented. So we'll see what happens on the 9th when legal tampering starts. Legal tampering.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But, man, I don't feel good. Not many contenders do this, where you just have a full-on, let's just reset the offensive line if you're a contender. I don't remember that. I don't know. I might be wrong.
We'd have to look back at how many. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that people look at the Texans because of their offense as a contender.
Quite no, but they're a contender, though.
They're upper echelon. They're top 12 team in the league, but I don't know, contender. I mean, they're a playoff contender right now, but nobody believes that they're. I believe they're a contender.
All we heard was like, no one wants to see this team.
Yeah, they're a contender.
Yeah,
but then
we saw this team. Yeah.
So
and look what
no
it
one
did.
Wants to see them. Then they're a contender, but the quarterback was the problem. Yeah, the offensive line ain't great, but the quarterback was the problem.
Well,
yeah.
The quarterback
cold
hasn't
hand
changed.
Stroud.
Yeah,
my hands quarterback. Are cold.
Listen, I think they got. You know, I think they're going to be just fine. I believe that they're going to be better. I believe CJ's going to be better. But I'm saying right now, nobody believes that the Texans ain't talking about the Texans as a Super Bowl contender.
They will.
Right now.
Yes, they will. I believe they're going to be a contender, a Super Bowl contender, as long as that defense is. That defense.
Well, they're going to be, yes. Yeah.
And I don't think there's any big moves coming on the defensive side.
But okay. Okay.
Hey, no, John, there were five turnovers against the Patriots. And again, it took Drake May making an incredible throw to win that game. It was a one possession, not even, it was a 4-point game.
17-13.
It was 17-13. Five turnovers, and you still had a chance. That is a contender.
No, well. They I don't know that they really had a chance. They lost by 12
points. Yes, they did.
Yeah. Listen.
It took booty to make it a perfect catch.
Get this. Somebody put together all of the drives by the Patriots offense in the postseason. And they averaged 1.13 points per drive in the postseason.
Ooh.
The 2017 Browns were winless. Was it the 17 Browns were winless? They went back, and the winless season, they averaged 1.22 points per drive. The winless Browns averaged more points per drive than the Super Bowl Patriots did. That's how good the Patriots – well, that's how bad the Texans offense was, giving them the ball and screwing the pooch.
All they had to do was.
That's how bad they were getting to the Super Bowl. Do you believe in the Patriots next year?
No. I think they come back down to earth a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. With a first place schedule?
Yeah. Things will change a little bit for the New England Aggies.
Yeah. The what?
The New England Aggies. Because they play that soft schedule.
Oh, I got a text from an Aggie yesterday that said, it's so. You basic bees. You know, the talk, it's so old, y'all. Dell, the way he talks about the Aggies, okay? Aww. Yeah.
Then don't play Mo Bamba as your hype-up song.
So the Aggie hate has got to stop.
Who was
show.
It? Put that person's name station, out there.
We're the station for the Aggs.
Yeah,
okay?
And we love them.
We love
being
Aggs.
A part of our station.
And Dell,
I got a reprimand when Raheel was the one.
Yes, you got the reprimand.
Wait a minute.
It's expected for me to do it.
Wait a minute.
But you have to.
Why do I get a reprimand? I'm sorry.
You always.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry we own that building. I'm sorry. In the biggest game in Aggie history, you scored a total of 3 points. How's that my fault?
Wow.
And they still had a chance to win that game.
Yeah, and Marcel Reed threw another pick. Yeah.
Oh, really?
If
the wind wasn't blowing, the Aggies would have beat you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure the wind didn't affect the other team either. So yeah. I'm sorry, your biggest game in modern history, you only scored 3 points. If you want to get – you really want me to go after you, I'll go after you. We're just talking about a stupid song.
Wow!
Don't do that,
terrible.
Dale. That's not nice.
What?
It's the off.
I didn't even. We were talking about
Aggies.
A song.
And look what you're doing.
Who was it?
I don't
put that person's name out there.
I'm not putting that person out there. He's an Ag. He ain't a 2%er. He's a 98%er. He loves his school and loves Elvis. And I'm telling you, this is.
Was it Chase? Isn't he an Aggie?
It's got to stop.
It's
okay.
Chase.
All right, what's got to stop, too?
How many touchdowns did they score in their biggest two home games the last two seasons?
A lot, right?
No, against Texas.
Heisman, it was a Heisman contender.
Against Texas, how many touchdowns did they score at home last year?
I have to go back and look
no
at
one,
and count
no
it.
No one knows. It's impossible to know.
Is that they had that big run in the third. No, it was zero.
Oh, so no touchdowns.
No touchdowns.
How many touchdowns did they score in their biggest home game this season?
The wind was a factor.
Uh-huh.
The first drive, that second, the kick.
Right.
Yeah, I think zero.
Oh, wow.
See, See? I mean,
you started this by just minding our business.
About a top 25 finish for the university.
Top 25 in what?
How many
in football?
They score.
Top 25 in football? We're popping bottles for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Score a touchdown in your biggest games. How about that?
Oh, wow. Wow. In the wind, nobody scores.
There was no wind against Texas the year before. What wind was there?
Probably. You don't know.
No, I watched the game.
I was there.
How bad was the wind, Raheel?
In College Station?
Yeah.
It was fine. It was a beautiful night.
Okay.
No. It was a perfect night.
Too windy to score.
Too windy to score touchdowns. Too bad.
It was when all the Aggies, the 100,000
people. The collective hot air came out of their lungs.
When they got stopped on fourth and goal, they go,
oh. And then the exhale when Marcel Reed threw that final pick. Oh, my God.
The wind, you can feel it in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. It was gale force winds.
John, you opened the can of worms. You brought this to the show.
If you had left us alone.
All we wanted to do was talk about the desperation on the offensive line, and you changed
course.
There's
no desperation. Okay.
Really?
There's no
desperation.
We're building something special.
About as desperate as the Aggies were to score a touchdown.
We moved on.
Oh, we have?
We moved on. Okay.
I know how to move
Marcel
along.
Marcel Reed.
I'm talking about Ownwell. I'm talking about how I wish I had Ownwell when I was in Houston, and you have Ownwell. I didn't. I did those taxes myself and won some, lost some. Ownwell wins 88% of the time. 88% success rate in reducing property taxes. Okay? 88% of the time. That's so crazy that in 88% of the cases, just 12% the government is right. So that tells you when you got your tax bill, your property tax bill, right? You look at it. Have you looked at it yet? Because I'm telling you, the government is more than likely 88% chance that it's charging you too much. 88% chance. Sign up with Ownwell in just 3 minutes. Save money on property taxes is easy. Year after year. If you ever been to a property tax hearing, I have been. All right? Don't hire lawyers. They don't know. They don't have the technology or the knowledge that Ownwell does have. Okay? Don't do it yourself either. I did that. It cost me. Listen, you're looking for the best way to fight your property tax. Join 140,000 Houston properties that use Ownwell. 60,000 property owners switched to using Ownwell last year. Be good. Be about that Ownwell. Don't wait. The deadline to protest is May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at Ownwell.com. That's Ownwell.com. Let them know I sent you when you complete your sign up at Ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so Reed Shepherd last night was really, really good. Maybe his best game. 19 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. That was a career high. 6 steals, career high, 2 blocks.
His first double-double ever.
His first double-double. And there's a lot of talk. We got, okay, so Ime was asked yesterday. You know, Jabari's coming back on Thursday. So they're playing Golden State. Is it Thursday, Wednesday? Is it tomorrow or Thursday? Whatever. The Golden State game, he's coming back. The 5th. What's today?
Today's the 3rd.
The 3rd. Yeah, he's coming back on Thursday. So he comes back, and here is Ime when asked about the starting lineup when Jabari gets back. Here's Ime.
Is Jabari still on track to return against Golden State?
Yeah, that's the plan.
When he returns, what do you anticipate your starting lineup looking like?
Probably back to the original. Yeah.
Probably back to the original, which is Amen at the point. Now, there's a lot of talk about Amen last year, the way that he played with Fred. He averaged 16 points a game. He was with Fred when he started, and Fred was on the floor. There's a lot of talk. Amen is better off the ball. He's just better at catching lobs. He can get under the basket. He can, you know, rebound. He can, you know, he can get the ball in space and, you know, drive to the hole. All kinds of different stuff. That he's not a point guard. And I agree with that. The only point guard on the team right now is Reed Sheppard. I guess Aaron Holiday too, but Aaron Holiday is not going to start.
Yeah,
watching Reed last night, it was like, yeah, dude should be in this. This is really nice. Of course, it was the Wizards, so we have to take that with a grain of salt. And we always have to remember that. Who are they playing? Reed, they're 7-2 when Reed starts, but who are the teams that they played?
Yeah.
The question is, I like Reed. I don't mind Reed. I like Reed coming off the bench and giving him a big lift. If Ime will actually give him the minutes that he deserves, and, you know, Ime, if he has a lapse defensive. Last night defensively, Reed was great. Great defensively. Yeah,
hands were in a lot of plays. He was active. Got a, I think, let me get his steals number. But ended up with three steals. Or sorry, six steals.
Six steals.
Yeah, and only three turnovers. That's
and he
huge.
Had a block or two too. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude was
last night.
He was incredible last night.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I get it, it's the Wizards, but when you watch the Wizards play, they play very fast, right? And they aren't that careless with the ball. In the first half, I think they had one or two turnovers. It was really low. The third quarter just started off. They just were a mess, and that's when the Rockets really took control. But Reed looked good. And I said this yesterday, and I think this is what it's going to be moving forward for me, is you go with that starting five, and that's fine. Go with it. But if that offense starts looking bad, it's lagging, put Reed in early. Don't wait. You got to get him in. If it's not looking good, get him in there. Let him space it out, and let's see if that helps that offense when you're playing better teams.
Yeah, it's not like they haven't fallen behind with Reed starting. I mean, they have. But, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. If you want to go back to that off, that's fine. That's fine. But don't hesitate to put the dude in and let him give the team a bump, okay? And by the way, it doesn't matter who starts, who finishes. That's the most important thing. And we have seen Reed on the floor when he's playing well. Reed is on the floor, and Amen has been sitting. Amen sat the last game that they came back to the Orlando game.
Yeah.
Amen was sitting at the end of the game while Reed was in there making stuff happen. So that's so much more important. Who starts? Whatever. If Reed doesn't start but he comes off the bench in a hurry, that's fine. That's great. He has turned, but it's just Ime. He's got to stop this. If Reed gets beat by a guy, that pull him, get him out of here.
Yeah,
get him out of there.
Everyone gets beat.
Everybody.
They gave up 118 points, including 39 points in transition to the Wizards. Off of turnovers, 24 total points in fast break. So it's like everyone is going to score. I get it. Defensively rated wise, they're a good team and they're one of the best actually. But when you're watching the games, it's not like they're a shutdown defense by any means. So the whole defense, guys are going to get burned. Şengün gets burned a lot, and he still gets to play, right? You got to let Reed play. You cannot have this fear over his head that, oh, I just got burned, and I know I'm going to get pulled. That's not how you get success out there. That's how you get scared players, and then it turns into I want him to shoot when he has an open shot. Well, coach, I'm afraid that if I miss, you're going to take me out.
Yeah. No. He doesn't have – he's not playing with that fear anymore. Dude. I mean, dude, when he hits a couple, he is heat checking it from about 30, 32. So he ain't –
I hope that still happens when it's a healthy team and everyone's good.
It's the – I mean, Elpy gets beat all the time. Guys get beat all the time defensively. You don't just yank them as soon as they do. Reed is at a huge disadvantage because of his size and his whiteness.
No.
Okay. He's at a huge disadvantage most of the time.
He's still an athletic player. He's good. He can hold his own.
Yeah. But,
he can hold his own.
Yeah. I mean, when you're playing with, you know, a disadvantage, like being white, You got to give him a little bit of leeway, okay? And especially when you see last night, I mean, you know, you couldn't even tell he was white with the way he played defensively. Ooh. You couldn't even tell.
Wow. If we're also going to criticize, like, pulling guys for defensive lapses, at some point, Ime has to do something about these turnovers.
Oh, yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's one of the rare games Rockets won where they led in turnovers and points off turnovers. And again, you're playing the Wizards, so it's fine. Like, you should win that game no matter what happens. And you dominated in the paint. But
you dominated the boards.
Yeah.
59-27. Holy crap.
Against good teams, though, the upper echelon teams, you can't do this.
No.
They're just so careless with the ball, including Kevin Durant.
Oh, my God.
The final 3 minutes was like, what is he doing?
He had a stretch. Turnover, technical foul. That's awful.
That backcourt pass, even he knew. He's like, what did I just do?
Oh, my gosh. And then when he goes in the front court, he's got triple team. They just take the ball away from him. And then the ball goes through the basket. He pushes the guy. I mean, what are you doing? Thank God it wasn't. That was closer. A 5-point game. I think a lot of people were pissed. I don't know what the line was, but I guarantee you the Rockets were more than 5-point favorites.
Yeah, I wonder how much that hurt people.
Not much. I'll bet you, because that last three that went up with as time expired, they counted it. That might have been right on the line, although the Rockets were probably, I don't know.
No,
eight might have been right in that neighborhood.
I checked the point spread yesterday. I think it was 16.5.
Oh,
sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay. 16.5.
It's the Wizards. Of course it's 16.5. Yeah, we didn't mention Trae Young got thrown out of a game. From the bench. He wasn't
and
even
so
dressed.
Did Tari.
Well,
but he kind
of. Tari's had an interesting week.
What was Tari? That dude must have said something, because Tari just goes down the court, pushes him down, and then he comes back up the court and defensively and pushes him again. I mean, what did that dude say to Tari?
Well, Tari's had an interesting week. He joins the Patrick Beverley, I don't know if you want to call it Mount Rushmore, but list of guys who injure a guy's knee for no reason other than you're a little upset. Like, Patrick Beverley did that to Russell Westbrook. And
And
now we got, what is it, Vince Williams, who tore his ACL, thanks to Tari bumping him for no reason. So.
And then he's pushing guys down.
And he was playing peacemaker, or at least trying to, on Saturday. He was like, hey, guys, relax.
It's a new leaf. I'm turning the page. And, it's a new target.
The next game.
Yeah, but you can't be a terror twin unless you're reigning terror.
Well, I mean, I would avoid.
Also, you're in the DMV. There's an energy there.
Well, what was Vince Williams up to when he did what he did to him? What
energy
was there?
No, that's part of the energy changes in the DMV.
He wasn't in the DMV when he hit Vince Williams.
The DMV?
No, yesterday. I'm talking about yesterday.
I know yesterday, but he has the same energy no matter what. No matter what city he's
pushing.
I don't know, man. I mean.
So does Trae Young, is he going to get suspended in his comeback? Because he's supposed to play.
He's supposed to play.
Tomorrow or
Thursday? In whatever their next game is. I don't know what happens. Did he leave the court in a timely manner? I think he'll be fine.
You can't enter the fray.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he will have
to
miss it.
He should get a suspension.
I mean, they've kind of gone lax on that.
They're like, who cares? It's the Wizards. Although, if you're into betting, you should play the over on the Wizards. That team runs so much.
And they don't play defense.
And Trae Young, he's going to bring a style that's going to complement that so well. Defense.
Yeah. Talk about throwing stuff against the wall. Boy, do they ever.
They have three guys that play exactly the same, and they're just all out there at the same. They're like, screw it, let's go. Let's just put every point guard out there. Let's just get all guards and just score. That's it.
All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, Glenn Davis is going to join us in an hour to talk about World Cup,
John.
So make sure that you're here. 713-780-3776. Let's get some calls in here. NCAA March Madness coming to Houston. Attendance encouraged, passion mandatory. Get your tickets now. NCAA.com/MBB tickets. That's NCAA.com /MBB. That's men's basketball. MBB tickets. So you got the, you're going to have a Sweet 16 here. Get your tickets. Get your tickets now. The Cougs could well be in that bracket, even if they're not. We got Sweet 16 action coming to Toyota Center. So if you're looking for tickets, there's one place to go, NCAA.com/MBB tickets.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after the...
It's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. We got any calls? Let's go. Let's get in here. What do you want to talk about? There's a lot of stuff, still to do. One of the things is, and Ken Rosenthal has a piece out today. Yesterday, he was doing, I don't know, some kind of mailbag or whatever, and he was on video and was asked about Isak. And if Isak is homered, he's got a couple of walks so far in two spring training games. It was nice to see him homer. I mean, at the very least, Isak is one of your best hitters. I'm hoping Carlos is a 800 OPS guy. Hoping, you know, Altuve is going to be in that neighborhood. Walker, boy, it sure would be nice. Jeremy Pena had a nice year last year. Hopefully he keeps it up. Yiner, let's see. You got Jordan should be, if he can stay healthy. But that's the thing about this whole thing. Well, they're just overloaded. Are they? Just because you have an extra guy, they're just overloaded. I don't believe that. Yeah. I don't believe that. Would be nice to have a better outfield. I don't question that. But what are you, because right now, you talk about desperation, Raheel, with the offensive line. Everybody in the world knows you're dying to trade Paredes, and you need a left-handed outfield, a left-handed hitting outfielder. So what are you getting in return?
I don't know what you're going to get. And yeah, I mean, obviously, they feel
obviously
like
if they could get anything, they would have done it already.
Yeah. I'm in the camp of hold on to all of your players that are good and can help, because injuries are going to be an issue. It's an issue for every team. It's going to be an issue for the Astros. Hold on. And if that left-handed hitter in the outfield, that one thing that Dana covets the most, if he is available around the trade deadline, maybe you pull the trigger. But right now, just hold strong. It's fine. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to just do the trade for, you know, just doing the trade for a trade's sake. You don't need to do that. Just hang tight. There's going to be injuries.
And don't waste an asset. Mm-hmm. Because right now you are dealing from a point of weakness, because they know you need that left-handed outfielder, left-handed hitting outfielder, and they know you've got too many infielders. Here's Ken Rosenthal talking about this very subject.
This one comes from Living Legend 72,000. He says, "Hey, Ken, it was very nice to meet you at Astros camp over the weekend. Do you think they'll try to trade Paredes for an outfielder? Funny you should ask, Living Legend, because my next column coming out tomorrow is on this very topic. I will give you a brief preview by answering your question. Do I think they should trade Paredes for an outfielder, a left-handed hitting outfielder? The answer that you will see in this column is a resounding yes. The Astros have an imbalance. They have too many players in their infield, not enough players in their outfield, or not enough good players, or established players, I should say. These guys are all good players. Not enough established players in their outfield. And they've got, in the infield, a situation where Christian Walker is at first, Jose Altuve is at second, Jeremy Pena is at short, and Carlos Correa at third, with Jordan Alvarez, the DH. Where is the room for Isak Paredes? Well, there is no room. Now, they can rest guys. They can use the DH on days when Alvarez is in left field. They can play Altuve in left field at times if Paredes is capable of playing second base, which is doubtful. But it's a logjam that needs to be resolved. And that is the subject of my column tomorrow. The Peralta and Fried story is there today. The story about the Astros and what they need to do is tomorrow. Right.
So he answered the question, and he actually had the solution. You're going to play. Yordan wants to play the outfield. And Joe Espada addressed it again this week. He said, you know, we got it. He wants to play. He feels like he's more of a part. He forgets about it at bats, bad at bats. When he's out in the outfield, he likes it. He likes to play the outfield, so we're going to play him in the outfield. Jose Altuve, while it's not ideal, he can go play left field.
No,
he can
please.
Play left field for you.
No.
Yeah, he can. No, he can, though.
I don't.
But yes, he can. He can play the outfield. Well, is he going to be a better? Well, the question is this: is he going to be a better option than Zach Cole? Is he going to be a better option than Joey Loperfido? Is he going to be a better option than whatever you can throw out there in left field? And the answer might be yes. That Paredes at second and Altuve in left is a better option than anything else you have.
That's fine, but I don't want him out there.
Well, I don't. If he plays 20 games in the outfield and Yordan plays 40 games in the outfield, there's 60 starts right there or more. I mean, Yordan is probably going to play more than that.
Yeah.
Probably going to play more than that in the outfield.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So you got a bunch. And then you can rest Christian Walker can rest. Correa can rest. You don't want to play these guys every day. There's plenty of at-bats. There's plenty of spots for Paredes to get out there. And I think he just answered his own question. And by the way, you've been trying to do this all offseason. Don't take a lesser deal just because you think you've got an overload. Because the answer, if anybody gets hurt, you trade Paredes and anybody gets hurt, Nick Allen is the answer. Mm. Not Marwin Gonzalez or Aledmys Diaz or Mauricio Dubon. You don't have that utility guy anymore. Paredes is basically your utility guy who could play three different positions. Ugh. And you're going to get rid of him for a lesser left-handed bat in the outfield. That's not a good plan. Not a good plan.
Man, have you looked up Nick Allen recently?
He's bad. It's not something you want to see every day.
He looks like a sales guy for ESPN. Like, he's 5'8".
Yeah. I mean, he can play multiple positions, but he hits.
Yeah,
I mean,
but is he good at playing any of the positions?
Yeah, he's a good fielder. He's a good fielder, but look at his numbers, batting.
Dude.
That's not good.
And you still have almost 3 weeks until opening day. As you mentioned, injuries will happen not only with the Astros, but other teams. So there's a chance you could get something better. So,
of all teams that should be wait. Like, wow, we got to have an injury contingency, the Astros, who were one of, if not the most injured team last year. Of all the teams that should be like, no, you know what? We need to have some guys just in case. And I don't think Paredes is a just-in-case guy. Paredes is one of your best hitters. He literally is one of your best top three hitters.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hold on to him and wait and see what happens. That's all. That's all you can do right now.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776. Do you agree with that or do you disagree? Whatever. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us. I'm talking right now about my peeps over at the Golden Nugget. I think you still got time. I mean, even if you can't get into the DraftKings Sportsbook for the NCAA tournament, even if you can't get in there, you can get in to the Blue Martini, which they're going to have a giant setup where they'll have kiosks where you can bet on all of the games right there. If you'd love to go to the window and talk to somebody and hand your money over to somebody, it's about 15 steps away, so it's not a big deal. But the Golden Nugget is the place to watch your NCAA tournament. I'm telling you, I don't know that there's a better place. Super Bowl, any big event, any big sporting event, it is the place to go. But the tournament is better than anything because there are 16 games a day to start on Thursday and Friday. And then there's 8 on Saturday, 8 more on Sunday. You want to talk just an overload of awesomeness. It is the NCAA tournament at a sports book, at the sports book just 2 hours down the road. And you got everything else as well. I don't know that you're going to have much time to get to the casino with all those games on, but try. And then get to the restaurants, get it. Okay? All the restaurants, the beautiful hotel, golf, poker, nightclub, everything you could possibly want at one spot, just 2 hours down the road. If you're looking for the best place to go get your gamble on, go get your tournament on, GoldenNuggetLC.com, GoldenNuggetLC.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. A lot of people, I don't know, where are you on EMA with this? I mean, a lot of people are getting really fed up with EMA about this Reed Shepard thing.
Yeah, it's been an issue all season long, it seems like. Let's see what happens here, because this is a more confident Reed Shepard. He looks different. He is playing with that. I don't know how to describe it, but it's almost like a chip on his shoulder, and he's playing a little bit more calm on the offensive side. So let's see what happens with the starting lineup. He's obviously going back to the normal starting lineup. He said it after the game yesterday with Jabari coming back on Thursday. I want to see what happens when the offense is looking bad, and I want to see what happens when Reed is in there and the offense is looking good, and then he makes a defensive mistake. How Ime handles this is going to be really important for the playoffs, for the end of the season push as well, because seeding is going to matter. If you can't count on Reed Shepard, then you wasted a whole season, in my opinion, in terms of developing him, having him ready, having him confident for the playoffs, because you're going to need him. You're going to need shooters in the playoffs. When things get hard, the matchups are different, defenses are locked in on KD and Şengün, who's going to help? Who's going to help space it out? And that's Reed Shepard. So I'm curious how he treats this in the final 25 games or so.
Should he go full Paolo Banchero on Ime?
No, he shouldn't do that.
I don't know. It seems like it's a good tactic. Paolo Banchero is going after his coach, Jamal Mosley. In the post-game press conference, the one adjustment that Detroit made last night, they just played. Oh, no. Here's what Paolo Banchero said. Teams a lot of times adjust at halftime, and I think that's why we struggled a lot in the second half, just because we don't really adjust to their adjustments. He's saying, in the post-game press conference, he's calling out his head coach because he doesn't make any adjustments. Well, Mosley asked the next day, he said, yeah, I think the one adjustment that Detroit made last night, they just played a little bit harder. They got into the ball, they grabbed at it a little bit more, they clogged the paint a little bit more, and our decisions became slower because there were a lot of gaps. There was no schematic adjustment that they made. It was more or less along the lines, they did turn up their defensive heat a lot more. Blah, 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 blah. How about the head coach having to defend himself and the star player calling him out in the post-game press conference for not making any adjustments?
Yeah, and you know who's going to win that one?
Oh, Paolo.
Paolo's going to win that one.
The player always wins.
Not only a player, but a player who you finally have some hope if you're a Magic fan. And you've got a guy who is now third all-time, by the way, in franchise history with 35-point games. You've got some hope, and he's going to win this battle.
I have never seen, well, I guess baseball is like this, but the Kevin Durant thing, most 30-point games, most 40-point games in history, most 20-10 games in history. I've never seen a sport that looks at I mean, like what? He's got the third most 35-point games in Orlando history?
That's pretty impressive.
Well, yeah. I mean, but it's data dredging. I mean, it is. He's a really good player, but I guess. But again, who'd they come against? Are they winning games because of it, or is it? I mean, it's just somebody's got to score all the points. Jeff Van Gundy told us that.
That's true, but nobody else has done that. Like, do you not agree Paolo is a guy?
I think Paolo's great. Don't get me wrong.
He's a guy there now. You can build around him. And when you're in that list where it's T-Mac, Shaq, and Dwight Howard, that's a good thing. And I get it. We're always pulling numbers. And you're right. MLB and NBA do it the most.
Not just how many points you score. It's in a 10-game span.
Yeah.
But in the last 2 days, we've seen J.J. Redick lose his job by going after Luka. And now,
or Luka just not being okay with getting feedback or criticism.
Well, Luka shouldn't be criticized. He's a star. Now we see Paolo Banchero taking Jamal Mosley's job away.
If I had an adjustment for Jamal Mosley, I'd inform him of this. Adjust Paolo Banchero's broke-ass jumper. How about that?
Dude, the memes of Paolo's jumper online is hilarious.
If I'm Jamal Mosley, adjust that broke-ass jumper, and then we can have a conversation about my adjustments, Paolo.
That's what you want to adjust?
Hey, I know you think you're like LeBron James. You're big and strong. You think, and you want to play like a perimeter guy, but you're bad from 15 feet out. Cut it out. Stop it. You don't have a jumper that's worthy of you taking so many mid-range. That's my adjustment for you, Paolo. Oh, yeah, and play harder.
30% from three for the season, 34% in the last 10 games. The memes, over the weekend, there's obviously a lot that happened in geopolitics, but there were stats out there like how many missiles connected, and there were some terrible numbers like, man, they missed this many. And NBA Twitter was just quote tweeting it like, dang, they're putting Apollo numbers. And you're like, no, you can't do that. Like, guys, this is serious stuff. We can't be doing this.
He is a career 32% three-point shooter. You know what? He's taking less this year, which is smart, right?
Well, yeah. That's...
But he's only a 45% field goal percentage guy.
It's not good.
Not good. But he's still going to win that fight. There's no question he wins that fight.
Yeah, they already paid him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got his big max extension.
It's going to be I'm going to listen to RJ Saunders' podcast about the Magic, our guy, our former producer here.
Mm-hmm. What does he think about the Mosley versus Paolo thing?
He's locked in on the Magic.
Well, of course he is.
Yeah, that's his thing.
He's a Laker guy, though.
But he works in Orlando now.
In Orlando or...
Somewhere Orlando-centric.
He's in Jacksonville, isn't he?
No, he's doing an Orlando podcast, a Magic podcast.
Oh, he's doing a Magic podcast? Yeah. Good for RJ.
Yeah.
Good for him. He loves the NBA.
He loves it. He loves,
the NBA.
Also, we forgot to mention we're an hour in. It's Election Tuesday, John. Primary's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone out there, line up.
Line up?
Yeah. It's going to be a busy Tuesday.
It is.
Dude, no. I'm not even joking. So last Friday was the last day for early voting. And one of our biggest polling sites in Fort Bend, like on normal early voting primary season, there's never a line. Like you can go. It takes 45 seconds if you want, right? There was a line on Friday at 7 p.m. out the door. So this
for
is gonna be
early voting?
For early voting.
Wow.
It's going to be a busy Tuesday. I'm not joking.
That's great.
Yeah, so get out there.
They should give everybody off on Election Tuesday.
Deal. I'll see you on Thursday.
You know what I'm saying?
Bye, John. Thanks.
Bye, John. Have fun, buddy.
I mean, I'm just saying. Oh, you're not here tomorrow?
I'm not here tomorrow. I'm out.
All right. Del, what do we got? We got AJ?
I imagine.
Something's
I haven't looked at the grid, but I'm sure that's the case. I'm currently looking at Paolo Banchero's shot distribution for this season.
What does it look like?
At the rim, 64.8%. Okay, good. Good, good, good.
That's even low.
Yeah, but he doesn't have post move. He's not always dunking. Like, he's driving from outside. Oh, yeah, whatever. He's fine. He's like right around a little bit above league average there. A little bit better. Short mid range, 39.2.
Ooh.
Hmm. Long mid-range, 33.3.
Ooh.
Stop shooting jumpers, Paolo. Jamal Mosley, you have an adjustment to make. Fix that broke-ass jumper by Paolo.
That's your adjustment at halftime. Stop shooting jumpers.
And if you are going to shoot them, fix the jumper.
Paolo. No, just here's the adjustment. Paolo, stop shooting jumpers. That's our halftime adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
You suck at it.
But if he's not listening to me, the only other thing I can tell him to do is fix it.
Do you know how he would hurt Paolo's feelings if he said that to him?
Oh, man.
I mean, NBA fans can say it to him. NBA Twitter can say it to him. Your coach can't say it to you.
How uncomfortable is it anyway in that locker room right now?
Well, the Magic... this was supposed to be the year they took a step. They made the big trade for Desmond Bane. They finally got the perimeter score that they thought they needed. And right where are they? Right where they always are. Actually, they were better last year. I think they were a 5 seed, but they're back in the play-in, struggling to stay out of it, competing with Philly, Miami, and others for that. So this was – I think some of the frustration is because they had expectations. They finally thought they were going to take a real step with Boston hurt, the Pacers out of it for a year. They thought, hey, at least 2-3 seed, and instead, playing.
Did Paolo have a point against the Rockets? I mean, the first half, they dominated the Rockets, and the second half, they got their ass kicked.
What was Paolo's jumper looking like in that second half?
What was the adjustment?
How do you go on a 21-0 run?
I bet you Paolo missed some shots.
I'm sure he did.
I bet you he missed some open jumpers. Some.
By the way, Jason Tatum's coming back.
He's coming back. Is it Friday against the Mavs? It's part of that. Of course, the documentary probably should have told us. They had this documentary that they're filming and they're now airing about his recovery. So Jason Tatum will join the Celtics.
Where's it on?
Is it on Peacock or I don't know where this? I'm not watching any Celtics stuff, so I don't know. But I think it's on one of the streamers, maybe Peacock.
Hmm. Gotcha. I'll watch it. I'm curious how that went for him.
I watched the 1980 hockey documentary yesterday.
Nice.
I mean,
how was it?
It's so good. It brings tears to your eyes.
Hmm.
No, I'm serious. Some stories in there. Jim Craig lost his mom. What's his name? Oh God, he lost his dad.
Oh, right before. Sorry, I'm reacting.
Ken Morrow.
I'm reacting to Paolo's numbers against the Rockets. Oh, my coach doesn't make adjustments. What adjustment do I have for 6 of 16?
Yeah, I was going to say, he was terrible against the Rockets.
At least he only took 16 shots, though.
Well, in the midst of a run the Rockets were making, I'm going to need my star max player to make some shots. Sorry.
Anyway, I highly recommend it. Anybody who lived through it or didn't live through it doesn't know what it's about. It is awesome.
It's called
awesome
Miracle
doc.
The Boys of 80.
Yeah, it's
on
awesome.
On Netflix.
You got to see it.
I watched.
And tell me that you don't tear up.
Is that can Hayden watch it too? Like good for kids?
Oh, it's great.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. No, there's no. There's a couple of bad words in it because
she watches wrestling. It's fine.
Do they have?
It's no big deal.
Her watch wrestling?
Did they use Kami and Ruski? Is that ever used in the doc?
Well, beat those Kami bastards was used.
Okay. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
Any words for the Finns that aren't really airable on radio?
All they said was, we're going to beat their ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
All they said. Yep. All right. We got a break. Talking about hoops right now. We've been talking hoops. We've been talking Reed Shepard. How about that? Not that. Listen, you got a little fella at home or a young daughter at home, and she wants to play basketball. He wants to play basketball. Too young to get a jumper up to a 10-foot goal. Lower the goal. How do you lower the goal? With a pro dunk. ProDunk.com. Go to the website, see what it's about. Go see the materials that they use, which are second to none. Tempered glass backboard, the unrustable stanchion, the push of a button that raises and lowers the goal. We used that to crank it back in the day. right? We had a crank where you cranked it and it goes up and it goes down and you're like, what the? Now you just push a button. These kids these days, they got it so easy. But that's why they love it. Just push of a button and you are playing. The kids are playing. The kids are out there. They're actually going to use it because they can actually have fun, Dad. Do not staple a backboard to your garage. They'll never use that. It's awful, and it's bad. The curb appeal. Curb appeal is second to none with ProDunk. You're looking for the best goal in the history of goals, ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard about it here.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.